More Idaho Matters from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You may have noticed we've had a lot of presidential politics going on lately. And I have to say, it can sometimes be depressing. So we wanted to take a look at the role comedy actually plays in this kind of news cycle. And speaking of comedy, a television comedy legend has passed away. But then we've got the Olympics starting. So here to break all of that down and to help us figure out what to watch is our resident movie critic and Morning Edition host, the lovely George Prentice. George, I just always love talking with you.
I love coming here and talking TV and movies with you all the time.
Oh, okay. So George, so much has happened. Oh, I think that's putting it lightly. in the last 2 weeks with the presidential candidates. And frankly, George, I mean, gosh, this can just get so heavy. And I think sometimes it's people start to tune out, right, on the news. So what I love about this idea is you want to take a look at really the role of comedy in presidential politics, because it's, frankly, so important.
Absolutely. Do you know what the number one downloaded program on Netflix is right now? Veep.
Oh, is it really? That's fascinating.
The episodes of Veep, which, of course, was a sitting president who decides not to run for re-election and a conniving vice president who elevates, anyway, one of the most brilliant comedies of the last couple of decades. So people are absolutely leaning into that. But I keep thinking of Saturday Night Live and how we need SNL, especially in a presidential year. And when we think over the years of the different members of the cast who have portrayed presidents. And it started back at the beginning when Chevy Chase would play Gerald Ford and he'd trip and fall over everything. But then I thought of Dan Aykroyd as Jimmy Carter, Dana Carvey, the brilliant Dana Carvey, as George H.W. Bush, and then Will Ferrell as George W. Bush, Amy Poehler when she did Hillary Clinton, Tina Fey as Sarah Palin, and oh my gosh, Kamala Harris. Is there anyone better than Maya Rudolph?
Oh my goodness.
Here she is.
I would like to tell you the story of when Joe picked me to be his running mate. Joe told me we were just going out for dinner. Then he got down on one knee. And that's when I knew that he needed help up. After that, he gathered himself and said, "Kamala, let's do this." And I said, "It's Kamala." And he said, "I will never, ever get that right."
Brilliant. Well, the internet is on fire of people saying, "Maya Rudolph, please, we're begging you to come back to SNL." And I think she almost has to right? But one of the best skits that she ever did on SNL, you may remember this, 4 years ago when they had a skit about the debate. It was Kamala Harris versus Mike Pence. And if you remember, he was interrupting her and she would just say, I'm talking. And it became a big meme. Let's listen.
Well, I'm just trying.
I'm speaking.
But
I'm speaking. See, I'm speaking right now. Estoya Blondo, Nevada, Arizona, some parts of Texas. I'm speaking.
I understand that. I understand.
I don't think you do.
Because
you're talking and I'm speaking.
Brilliant, brilliant stuff. Maya Rudolph, as a matter of fact, is nominated for an Emmy Award, and the Emmys are coming up, I think, in about a month or two, for her performance as Kamala Harris when she guest hosted last year. And let's just hope that she's back every week, at least through November. And we need this, don't we?
Oh, George, we do. And it is something about the way that, I mean, it's the voice, right? And it's the way they carry themselves.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also bringing levity to what can be so serious. And what I appreciate about it too is when they do these impersonations, it's the candidates that can laugh about it.
Yes, the ones that have a really good sense of humor, you're absolutely right. They usually benefit from it if they can laugh at themselves. What's so funny is that some of the funniest skits are when they read word for word verbatim from what the candidates actually say in their speeches and debates. Because when you see it in a comedy setting, you're thinking, how absurd is this race for the White House? So let's just hope that SNL gets back on the air as soon as possible and that Maya Rudolph is there. And who would have known, right? Who would have known that Kamala Harris would be the Democratic standard bearer? But SNL is right there with Maya Rudolph.
Could we just like put a request in? Not that I'm sure the producers of SNL, you know, listen to us, George, but if for some reason they ever did, could we just have a skit with Maya Rudolph, Amy Poehler, and Tina Fey as Sarah Palin, Hillary Clinton, and Kamala Harris?
Yes.
Could we? I don't even know what they would do. I mean, it would just be, I think, amazing.
It would. It would absolutely be. Yeah, but I mean, quite frankly, and to talk about the men's club, that is the race for the White House. So you're right.
Oh my goodness, too funny. Okay, George, you've been looking back at the life of when we say a television comedy legend, I mean I don't even know what other words to describe Bob Newhart with.
Absolutely, the soft-spoken everyman, and he was a star on television on two different series that bared his name. Newhart and the Bob Newhart Show. And yet it was almost as if he portrayed kind of the same guy, that soft-spoken guy. I have been thinking back to when he started out in the early 60s. I think he was an insurance salesman in the Midwest, but he put together a comedy album in the early 60s. And that album won the Grammy Award for Album of the Year. I just want to let you know, the nominees that he beat out were Nat King Cole, Harry Belafonte, and Frank Sinatra. That's how great Bob Newhart was. And he was this wonderful monologist, of course. You know, you put him with a phone and he can go all day. My favorite skit is The Driving Instructor. And it's just him on stage as a driving instructor. And it is brilliant.
All right, there we are. Let's get up a bit of speed. That's the way. Now, let's practice some turns. The important thing on turns is not to make them too sharp. Just kind of make a gradual. Oh, now that was fine. That was a wonderful turn. It's hard for me to believe you only had two lessons after you make a turn like that. Are you sure you haven't had more now? I find that very difficult to believe. One little thing. This is a one-way street. Well, no, actually it was partially my fault, you see, but you were in the left-hand lane and you were signaling left, and I just more or less assumed you were going to turn left. same to you, fella. No, I don't know what he said, Mrs. Webb. All right, let's pull into the alley up there and practice a little alley driving. This is something a lot of the schools leave out that we think is pretty. You're going too fast, Mrs. Webb.
You know, you think about it, just brilliant, and then you think about the finale of Newhart and how it doubled back to the Bob Newhart Show, right? Maybe the best written finale of any show, right? When he's waking up in bed with Suzanne Pleshette, who had been his wife 15 years earlier in the previous sitcom, and he said, I just had a dream. I ran an inn in Vermont. And it's priceless, priceless comedy. And that unique delivery, that stammering everyman delivery, but he was a comedy genius.
Yeah, he really was. He really was. Oh my gosh, George, what a great look back. Okay, I want to shift things a little bit, George, because I think it is fair to say that loneliness and isolation are frankly something of an epidemic here in the United States and around the world, but we're definitely seeing it here in the U.S. There's a new film out. Can you tell us about it? Because it's something really that you say insist that we have to join or be a member of. I mean, something, anything really to survive.
Absolutely. The film is called, it's a rather provocative title, Join or Die. Now, there's actually some science here that says that we do hinder our final days if we do not engage, if we do not connect, if we do not join. How many? When was the last dinner party you went to? When was the last club you went to? When was the last time you went to church? These are valid questions. So there was a book that came out a few years ago called Bowling Alone, which is about this premise. And it's about our connection or disconnection or our engagement or disengagement. And it was written by a professor. Well, years later, two of his students have become Oscar-winning directors, and they have made a film called Join or Die, and it will be coming to the Flix on Thursday, August 8th, and Rotary Club has decided to sponsor this. Not necessarily to get people to join Rotary, but to join anything, and they're going to have a discussion about connection. I love this documentary. It's called Join or Die. Let's listen to a clip.
This is Bob. Bob's a big fan of clubs.
I belong to everything.
That's my high school bowling team. I'm the tall one in the middle.
And this is a film about why you should join one and how Bob discovered that the fate of America depends on it.
Your chances of dying over the next year are cut in half by joining one group.
Everything that reflects connections with other people are going down.
How many times last year did you go to church?
Down.
How many times did you go to a dinner party?
Down.
How many times last year did you go to a club meeting?
It's equivalent to saying half of all the roads in America just disappeared.
Everyone has a feeling something's happening, but then he's got charts to actually show what's actually happening.
The book Bowling Alone, which you're familiar with, by Robert Putnam.
You know, he may have been on to something.
You should join, your kids should join, and if there's not an organization you want to join, create one.
America doesn't have to be the kind of America that you've lived in your whole life. You could decide to change history.
You learn that you can care for people, and people can care for you, and you're more likely to then trust government and institutions that are actually working to help you. It's a brilliant film. And it is called Join or Die, Thursday, August 7th at the Flix. It's sponsored by Rotary Club, but you get your tickets at the Flix. Please see this film. I'm reaching out. You will really, it's entertaining. It's fast paced. It's a wonderful documentary. It's called Join or Die, but it is about the human condition. And Gemma, to your point, it's about what's missing in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, friendship is so critically important, right? I mean, and having those connections. So whether it is a club, whether it is church, whether it's, you know, a set of friends, you know, right? It is truly that deep human connection that whether we like it or not, we all need.
I love this film because it's an entertaining way to get us to think and open our hearts. And what's interesting is the experience of being in a theater with others, with strangers. It's an interesting dynamic. And you instantly want to talk about this film as soon as it's done. So they're going to have a talk about it. Seek this out. This film is not available yet for home screening. So why not actually go and be in the company of others, right? And it's called Join or Die. And it's going to be at the Flix on Thursday, August 8th.
So the other thing I want to talk about before I let you go, George, and people may have forgotten about this with all the other news going on lately, but the Olympics start on Friday. And George, okay, just I have to tell you, we were in Paris earlier this summer.
Right.
And it was amazing to see the city getting ready for the Olympics. Mm. The day we went to the Eiffel Tower was the day they were putting the Olympic rings up on it. The fact that they're doing the opening ceremonies on the Seine, George, can we just talk about the Olympics, please?
The river's famous banks and, you know, we're going right by the Eiffel Tower and Notre Dame, and the barges are going to carry 10,500 athletes down the Seine River. Unlike any opening ceremony, this is something you'll remember forever. It is part celebration, part entertainment, but these are people from every corner of the world who just want to be in the presence of others. keep in mind that 99.9% of them will not get any medal, but it is about the competition. I adore the Olympics. I've talked about the Olympics for many years. I've actually been to many, many Olympics. My first was in 1976 when I went to the Montreal Olympics, and then I was bit, and then I went to, let's see, I was trying to remember the other day. I've been to the Montreal, Lake Placid, Los Angeles, Atlanta, Calgary, Nagano, Japan, Lillehammer, and then, of course, Salt Lake City and Vancouver. And we just got the word yesterday that Salt Lake City has been awarded the 2034 Winter Olympics.
That sounds so far away, but it's only 10 years.
I wanted to think back of some special moments in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to share a couple of them with you. So I'm going to take you back to 1976, and it's gymnastics. And it's a young gymnast from Romania, Nadia Comăneci. And there was no such thing before her. There was no such thing as a perfect 10. As a matter of fact, on the scoreboard, they didn't even have a place to put a one there because it was always 7 point whatever, 9 point whatever. No, they literally had to come and someone had to write a one on the board when she scored a perfect 10. I have dusted off the archives, and this is from 1976. Let's take a listen.
What can you say? She's just unbelievable.
14-year-old Nadia Comăneci of Romania.
And here's her last tumbling run. Watch the height at the end of her routine. Nails it perfectly.
10.0. A perfect score. 10.0 for Nadia Comăneci. A perfect score.
The first time I've never seen anyone get a 10. And she deserved it. That's what's so incredible.
There have been other perfect scores since in gymnastics and figure skating, but that was the moment that broke the ice. And to see something, to see greatness in a moment, right? And I love swimming in the Summer Olympics. I get really excited about swimming. And the U.S. swimming team is always pretty good. We've got a pretty good rivalry with Australia. But your heart just races when it's coming down to the second. So I have found, and this is from 2008, this is the men's relay, and they're coming into the final stretch, and Michael Phelps is on the team, and Jason Lezak is swimming the anchor for Team USA, and they are behind.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, your heart is in your throat. Let's take a listen.
Alain Bernard awaits as the anchor guy, and Jason Lezak is going to have to make up some ground on Alain Bernard, who stands 6'5" and can absolutely fly.
I just don't think they can do it, Dan. I mean, Jason Lezak has been there. How many times in his career has he anchored this free relay and medley relay? But I just don't think he can do it. He's trying to ride that wave as much as possible.
Bernard is pulling away from him. The United States trying to hang on a second. They should get the silver medal. But Lezak is closing a little bit. Veteran chase him down and pull off a shocker here. Here comes Lezak! Unbelievable at the end! He's done it!
Oh my gosh, they even had to
chills.
They had to bleep out the announcers.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. But this is gonna happen over the next 2 weeks, right? You just, in that moment, there is no drama, there is no comedy that surpasses something as exciting as this. And when you watch it live, wow. Speaking of which, we are probably going to start reading headlines about how the ratings for this year's Olympics are going to be down. Well, they're going to be talking about the prime time because most of these are going to be taking place during the day. It's in Paris. So
yes, it's 8 hours ahead of us.
Absolutely. So you can watch it during the day if you want to watch it live. They'll package it during the evening. But in today's world, people are going to watch on their phones. They're going to watch at work. This is going to be an all-day event. Anyway, I get really excited. And we all, you know, we think, oh my gosh, we're mini experts on swimming and equestrian events and track, et cetera. But, you know, these are amazing men and women, and this is all they do on behalf of their country at a time, you know, when we could use a little unity. And they, you know, it's, there's always the, you know, maybe an athlete who comes up lame possibly in a marathon, but you will see amazing courage in these events. You don't always win a medal, but boy, for entertainment, you can't get anything better than the Summer Games, which start tomorrow.
Yeah, it is where dreams are made, I swear, George.
Yep.
Well, as always, George, so wonderful to have you with us. We've been talking with our resident movie critic, George Prentice, who also spends some spare time hosting Morning Edition, talking about what to watch this weekend. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Here at Shortwave Space Camp, we escape our everyday lives to explore the mysteries and quirks of the universe. We find weird, fun, interesting stories that explain how the cosmos is partying all around us. From stars to dwarf planets to black holes and beyond, we've got you. Listen now to the Shortwave podcast from NPR.